We're going to learn Daf Pei Beis and Masechtas Ksubos, but we're going to start from the line of the Gemara where it says on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, where it says Hadur Shalchu Kamei Derev Minyumi. So the word Hadur is the last word on the line. It says seven lines from the bottom. Okay, so what's going on over here is as follows. The Gemara is talking about that if you have a Shemeres Yabam, which is a woman that her husband died and now she's about to do Yibum to the brother. The question, and we all know that once you do Yibum, the property of the deceased brother goes to that Yabam. So the Gemara had gone through a couple of iterations of whether or not they're able to transfer that property or not. The key over here is that property that is coming, even though it's going to the new brother, the Yavam, and it's his property to use, however, everything that came from the deceased brother is meshubed to the ksuba. So he's not really allowed to get rid of it, he's not allowed to do anything with it, because it has to stay there and available for the collection of her ksuba. And that's true, by the way, even if the amount of assets that the brother had is many multiples of what the ksuba is. But that's the concept of collateral. That's the concept of a shibud. The shibud goes across the whole thing, regardless of how much the value of the ksuba is. Okay, so the Gemara beforehand had been going through some detail about the fact, and there, that, on this notion, that the Yavam is not able to get rid of anything. So, specifically, the Gemara had a story about this woman who was the Shemeres Yavam, that one of the brothers wanted to do Yibum, and a second brother, there were two live brothers who could potentially do Yibum. The older one has the option of doing the Yibum, and the second one says, no, I don't want you to do Yibum, because if you do Yibum, then you're going to take all the money, and I want to be able to split with you. So he said, don't worry, I'll give it to you. That's the story specifically that the Gemara is giving. And there's a machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaya, whether or not that those words of, yes, I'll give you something, whether or not that is enforceable or not. That's the issue that we're going back and forth. Now, to prove, Rav Yosef says it's not enforceable because the money, he cannot give away anything. It's completely meshubah to the woman, and it therefore must go to the Yavam himself, and he must hold on to that money in order that it's available for her ksuba. And Abaya says, what are you talking about? No, don't worry, you could agree to, if you shouldn't do it, Vada, the money should be available for the ksuba, but if you gave it away, you gave it away. That's the essential, the fundamental machlokes between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef. So then the Gemara brought a Braisa. Now this is what's important for where we're going to start with today. Then the Gemara brought Abaya brought a Braisa that, Rabbi Yosef, right, Rabbi Yosef brought a braisa, a very interesting braisa. The braisa is like this. Let's say it happened to be another story that the Yavam and the deceased the Yavam borrowed money from the deceased. So let's just give it a dollar amount so it's easier to talk about. He borrowed $100 from the deceased. So he says, listen, now that my brother died, and I'm going to have to do Yibum anyway, and all his property is going to come to me, so I don't have to pay it back. Comes along the Braisa and says, no, actually what you have to do is you do have to pay it back. You have to put that money aside. You have to buy land. You get to eat the payers like anything else that you would take from your brother. But essentially you do have to pay it back. So what do we see from that? We see from that that you can, there's no getting around it. The money that is supposed to be available for a shibud has to be available, and there's no getting around it. So this is how Rav Yosef, you can't sell it, you can't cancel it, the money has to go from the deceased brother to the Yavam, and there's no other deals that you can make over here. You have to take care of it. Okay, so on that note, we're now going to start from the Gemara, where we left off last time. The seven lines from the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Hodur Shalchu Kamei Derav Minyumei Berei Derav Nechumei. So they sent this question again to Rav Minyumei. And they sent this braisa. Amar lohu, so he answered them, Hochi amar Rabbi Yosef bar Minyume, Rabbi Yosef bar Minyume, amar Rabbi Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Nachman, zu enoi mishnah. This whole braisa, the fact again, the case was that whether or not the Yavam has to repay his deceased brother just for the sake so that the money is available for his ksuba. He says that whole brisa is not a Mishnah. It's not really true. My time. So now the Gemara wants to say, okay, it's a very nice statement. I mean, it definitely gets us out of, so to speak, the problem that we have to resolve with a raya. It's not a raya anymore, but why is it not a Mishnah? So, if you're going to say that over here, because obviously it's a loan, so we're talking about metaltalim, we're not talking about karka. So, if it's a loan and a metaltalim, and you want to take the shita, you want to follow the opinion that says that that it's not meshuba to the ksuba anyway. So, if it's not meshuba to the ksuba, the whole reason why you were taking this, you were repaying the loan and buying karka was so that you would have it as a shiba to the ksuba. It's not even true. It's metaltalim, it was never meshuba to the ksuba in the first place. So this whole brisa doesn't, the whole basis of the brisa doesn't make sense. So he says, no, I'll tell you, that's not a problem, because Dilma Reb Meir, maybe we're following Reb Meir Shita, the Amar Metal, the Meshavu Lichsuba, that he says that it is Meshavu. So, okay, so that can't be the reason why the brisa in and of itself is inaccurate, is not a valid brisa. The Gemara says, all right, a different try. Elo Mishum Da Amar Lo At Lav Bal Devarim Didiyat. So maybe the reason why this brisa doesn't make sense is because what's your whole taina? Your whole taina is that you want, the woman says, I don't want you to get rid of this property. I want this property in my bank account because I might need it someday. So this new Yavam says, who are you? I have nothing to, I didn't borrow money from you. My issue is with my deceased brother. You're a third party over here. You're what we call in the legal language, you're a third party beneficiary. You're just a beneficiary over here. You're just somebody who gets, if I work it out with my brother, then you're a third party over here. You have nothing to do with me. So why do I have to, I have to go out of my way to repay the loan because maybe you'll eventually get it? That's not my problem. So the Gemara now we go to the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the reason why you think that the Brisa is not a real Brisa, Dilma Reb Nosson, maybe this concept is not a problem according to the Brisa. Maybe this Brisa follows Reb Nosson Sheet, the famous Reb Nosson, the tiny we learned in the Brisa. Reb Nosson says, Minayin Linoishe B'chaveri Mono, B'chaveri B'chaveri. So let's say again, I borrow from Reuven, and Reuven borrowed from Shimon. So even though I only really dealt directly with Reuven, me and Shimon really do have a relationship, because ultimately me paying back Reuven gives Reuven the opportunity to pay back Shimon. So Shimon is the end. Shimon is the one. So me and Shimon, even though we didn't deal with each other directly, but me and Shimon do have a relationship. How do we know that we go directly from, so to speak, the two ends, the two parties, and we can bypass the middle party? Talmud Loimer, because the Pasuk itself says when it comes to paying back a loan, the Pasuk says, V'noson la'asher or you pay to the one that is guilty, or in this case, the one that is the money is owed to. So we see that you don't have that's not an argument, at least according to Reb Nosson, and for the most part, we do follow Reb Nosson. But Reb Nosson is a shita, and there are those that argue with him. But we see that we do go directly to the third party, to the ultimate recipient. We look at the ultimate recipient and who should receive it. So once again, we see that this brisa could make sense if you follow Reb Nosson shita, and the Yovam is not able to make the argument, I don't have to protect you, because who are you? I only have to deal with my deceased brother, and he's not here, and I have direct rights to his property anyway. So the Gemara says, Ella, no, really, when he was saying that it's not a brisa, here's the reason. The reason why this brisa can't be true is because lo ashkechon tana demachmir trei chumri b'ksuba. The issue is that this would be a double chumra when it comes to ksuba. Now, what's interesting, the way Rashi explains is that we're going according to the shita that ksuba is only derabbanon. So since it's only derabbanon, the rabbanon wouldn't take a double chumra. You'd need two chumras over here. One that we'd have to hold like Reb Nosson, that we allow the third party, the affected third party to get involved. That's chumra number one. And chumra number two is we'd have to say that we're going like Reb Meir, that we're dealing, even that it's true even by metalton. So we'd have to add one plus the other. So, El Ikareb Meir, Ikareb Nosson. Normally, we would say, you want to be Machmer by Ksuba, fine. One Chumra I can handle. But two Chumras I can't handle. So this would be taking it too far in terms of just imposing too many restrictions on a din that's only merely a Midr Rabbanon anyway. The whole din of Ksuba, as we said, according to the way Rashi is learning over here, is only the Rabbanon. Okay? So the Gemara finally finishes off and says, Amar Rava, Im Kain. Now I understand based on what we just said, Haina de Shemana Leila Abaya. That's why we heard Abaya saying to Omar that he says, Zu Eina Mishnah, Velo Yadana Mahi. It's not, this Mishnah can't be true, but I don't know exactly what the reason is. And now, we have an explanation, but the explanation is based on something that could have rectified the Braisa, but it can't be because each answer that you give is adding more problems, or adding more chumras, and adding more chumras, that's not something that we can afford to do by a ksuba. So in conclusion, the maskana, we actually really don't have a raya one way or the other. It seems like the Gemara is leaning towards a baya shita, which is that you could sell. It seems the direction that the Gemara is leaning, but ultimately it is a machlekes between Rav Yosef and Abaya whether or not a Yavam is able to sell some of the property that he receives from his deceased brother while she's a Shemeres Yavam. After they're married already, it's like any other husband, which we'll deal with in another parak. But but before they get married, this issue boils down to machlekes between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef, whether or not he can give away some or sell some of the property. Ahu Gavra. So now, continuing on the story. Ahu Gavra denafala yevamo b'mosa mechasyo. So there was a story with this guy. His brother, I guess, lived in a faraway town of Mosa Mechasyo. And now he had a yevamo far away. Boy achva lemisala begita mine. So there was one yavam, one of the brothers was willing to go there to this faraway place to get all the, to marry her and do, but the other brothers, again, same issue over here. They knew that he had money, and if one brother does yibum, he takes all their money. So they wanted to say, if I give her a get, the halach is again, without chazering all of Hilchus Yavamas right now, but if once you give a get, then nobody is able to do yibum anymore. Apostles from the yibum. So Amar Lei, and once they're apostle from yibum, then all the brothers split the estate equally. So Amar Lei, so the brother who wanted to do Yibum said, "My daitcha, what's your reasoning over here that you don't want me to do Yibum? Z'imishum nichzei, if it's because of the property that I'm going to take, anav nichzei palgina lecha, no problem, I'll split it with you. If that's your whole issue, I mean, you don't have an issue with me being married to her, your issue is the money. So I'll split the money with you." Amar Lei, so he said, so the brother said, "Mr. Fina da'avad lakada avdelebabum badisa ramo." So I'm afraid you're going to do, because we just finished talking about the story on Pe'alef Amud Beis. It's the same thing, where the guy said, no problem, I'll split it with you. And then we have this whole machlokes Abaye and Rabbi Yosef, whether or not he's allowed to split it with him, whether he's allowed to give it away. So he was saying, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to promise me that you're going to give it away. And then you're going to say, oh, whoops, sorry, I can't give it away, because the halacha is, I have to hold on to it just in case, blah, blah, blah. So he says, I'm not interested in your tricks over here. I'm not listening to your promise. Amarlei, so the brother said, "Ibois palgus lachot mehashto." So he said, "No problem. I'll split it with you from now. In other words, I'll already give you a chiyuv, a shibud in the property from now. So it's not like that I'll turn around tomorrow and say, oh, well, too late. I didn't realize, it's too late. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the kinyan ahead of time so that it's never too late. I'll preempt, so to speak, and give you the problem." So now the question is whether that works. Okay, based on what we've been saying till now, they're not supposed to give away the money. The fact that I promised it ahead of time, does that work? So Amar Bar Rav Ashi Afal Gav Dechi Osa Rav Dimi. Even though when Rav Dimi came, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Ha'omer L'Chaver Lech U'Mashaych Parazu. Normally the case is like this. I say, go and make a kinyan. I'm going to sell you my ox. Make the kinyan on the para. And I tell you that it should become yours in 30 days. You're going to make the kinyan now, and then we'll ship it to you. Well, you'll get it in 30 days. Okay, so there it does work, because he did everything. He made the kinyan. There's a condition that you have to wait 30 days before you take it. Okay, so we'll wait to fulfill the 30-day condition, and then it'll be yours. And over there, the chiddush is that, this is a Gemara, in Hilchus Kinyanim, the chiddush is that even if at the moment, in the 30 days later, the part of the cow happens to be in a location where he would not have been really readily able to make the kinyan then, still, the fact that he made the kinyan 30 days ago works. Oh, so we want to say the same thing should work over here also. We should say, I'm making the kinyan, even, remember, during the stage of Shemeres Yavam, the brother, the Yavam, didn't yet inherit the property. He didn't marry the girl yet, so it's not really his to give away. But I'm making the kinyan from now for then later, right? That's the comparison that the Gemara wants to make. So we see that over there, the concept does work that I can make the kinyan on one day and the kinyan is chal, goes through, is enforceable on a different day. So the Gemara says, so Rav Dimi was saying like this, Omar Rav Ashi says, yeah, hold on 1 second. Hosam biyodoy hocho lav biyodoy. Over there, the difference is that it was completely in my control. So therefore, I owned the cow then, and I own the cow now. So when I gave it to you, I was already at that moment in control of giving. I could have given it to you immediately. The fact that I chose that I want to fulfill a condition first, fine. So we put a condition on it. Whereas in this case over here by the Yavam case, he doesn't own the property yet. So I can't make a kinyan on property that I don't yet own. I haven't yet done Yibum. So therefore, it's not comparable, and therefore the kinyan over here doesn't work. The Gemara says, fine, I get it over here. I don't yet own the property, so I can't make the kinyan now, even for the sake of later. But when Rabin came, he also quoted Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Loikani. And he said, you're not kinyan. And he said, Loikasha. And he said, in a regular case where I promised you I'm going to give it to you, it's not work. It doesn't work. But he said, but it's not a problem. Why? Because so you're right. That he said. Let me explain. The difference is when I said that I want you to be koinit from now. Actually, he said that by the para it doesn't work. So it's not even an attempted raya in the first place. This is really just a technical issue. You're bringing me a proof from the case of when I made the kinyan on the para and I wanted you to get it 30 days later. Rabin holds that the whole thing doesn't even work in the first place. So the Gemara says, that's true. It wouldn't work if he says, do the act now and actually own it later. That you cannot separate the act of the kinyan and the ownership in that regard. But if I say that in 30 days from now, you will then have owned it for 30 days, you will then have owned it from the time you did the act, and we put the act of kinyan together with the ownership of the kinyan, even if it's retroactively, that works. So even Rabin that quotes Rabbi Yochanan and says it didn't work, that's because in that story it didn't work because he wanted you to do the kinyan on January 1st and then you wouldn't own it till February 1st. That was the problem. The problem was that there was the ownership wasn't connected to the Maisa kinyan. But if I say, you're going to own it today, but I just need to wait a couple days before I can give it to you, like... right? So that works. The Gemara now continues. So he says, okay, so till now we've been discussing that she's only a Shemeres Yavam. It's before I actually did Yibum, again, based on what we just said. The issue over here was that I didn't yet own the property because I didn't do the Yibum yet. I didn't take over my brother's assets, so that's why I can't give them away. But what if I did do Yibum first? And now he says, okay, fine, I did Yibum, and now he says, I'll promise to give away some things. So what's the halacha over there? Could I give it away? Because now it's my property. Or at least it's in my possession. So they asked Ula, and Ula said, lo yosef lo klum. It's also no good. Because remember, the property over here is meshubid to her ksuba. What about the Gemara says, chilek liachar kach Yibum? What if he actually did give it away? He sold it. I sold it to a third party and then I did Yibum. Mau. So again, Ula says, lo yosef lo klum. Also, doesn't work. I have no rights to this property. This property is completely tied up with this woman, has to stay available for this woman. So the Gemara says, Maskeflar of Sheshes, Hashta Yibim V'yachia Chiluk Layasav Leiklum. When I did the Yibim, which means I really did own the property, and still it was no good, Chiluk V'yachia Chiluk Leiboi. So the fact that I gave it away even before I owned it, so of course that's not going to work. That's not even a question. Even after I owned the property, I couldn't give it away. Certainly before I owned it, I couldn't give it away. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Shnei Maisim Havei. Is you right? The reason why we discussed it in two different ways, even though one is obvious from the other, is because this story happened in two different ways. The two different stories. Okay, the Gemara continues. He also Rabban Amar Reish Lakish Ben Yibum V'Yachvi Achilik. Whether he did the Yibum first and they got the property and tried to give it away, Ben Chilik V'Yachvi Achilik Yibum. or he gave it away first. That's the maskana of Hilchasol, and that in fact is the maskana of the Gemara. The maskana of the Gemara is that this money is completely tied to her ksubas, meshubat her ksuba, and the Yavam cannot promise it away and cannot give it, cannot even give it away, cannot even sell it, cannot do anything with it until it is meshubat. So you're really left with the original story, which the Gemara proposed on Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, which was to divorce her, give her ksuba, and then you could do whatever you want with the rest of the money. But other than that, you can, and also the other alternative is to get her to agree, because the whole point is it's a shiba to her. If she agrees to sell the property, and we'll discuss how she can agree, but if she agrees to sell the property, then you can sell it. Otherwise, you can't sell the property. All right, changing topic over here. The Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. So let's say you have the brother died with property, with land, and the land has peiros on it, has actual, let's say, oranges on the fruit on the tree. So if they're still attached to the ground, that the brother is able to keep as, the Yavam is able to keep as his own. So the Gemara asks, Amai, why does he get to keep it as his own? Once again, why is the fact that it's a fruit different than the tree itself? It's all her property. It's all the Yavam's, the deceased property, and it should all be Meshubah to the Ksuba. So Amar Resh Lakish, Tani, Shalom, Elchanami. You're right, it's a mistake in the Girsa of the Mishnah. We have to change the Girsa of the Mishnah. Notice we don't change it in the Mishnah itself. We only change it in the Gemara. But you're right, it does belong to her. It's no different. If at the time the brother died, there was oranges on the trees, those oranges also are theoretically, technically available for use of the Ksuba and the Meshuvah to her. Now, the next line of the Mishnah is, Kansa Harei Ke Ishtoi. If he marries her, she's like his wife, like any other wife, for like everybody else. L'may Hilchasa. What is the point of this? Okay, it's true that it is his wife. Why do we have to emphasize this? Amar Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Loimar, Ketisha Shemegarsha Beget, Umachzira. To tell us that you give her a regular get, and the Gemara is going to explain what the Chiddush is, and he can remarry her at a later date. So the Gemara says, Megarsha Beget Pshita. Of course, he can, if they're married, now that he did Yibam, their regular wife, of course, you could do a get. What's the problem? So the chiddush is as follows. The Torah says you should do yibum. So maybe there's still the connection is the fact that you're doing yibum. Maybe over here you're still tied to the category of yibum, and even after Yibum, if he wants to get rid of her, okay, maybe you have to give a get because you're married, but you also may need to still do Chalitza because there's still a connection, you have to undo the Yibum aspect of it. Kamash Malon, so that's the Chiddush of this price, or the Mishnah rather, to tell us that, nope, once you marry her, it's 100% your wife, you don't have to look back, and you don't look at this as a Yibum situation anymore at all, and if he wants to divorce her, it's just a regular get like everybody else. Okay, the second line of the Mishnah was Machzira Pshita. Again, that's also, if it's a regular wife, now that we've established it's a regular wife, and if a guy divorces his regular wife, he's able to remarry her at a later date. So what is the Chiddush that he's allowed? Why do we need a Brisa to tell us that he can remarry her? So now on the top of Pei Beis Amidaleh, the Gemara says, Ma'od Teima Mitzvah Derami Rachmana Le'Avda. You might think, remember, what's the situation over here? At the end of the day, to do Yibum, that means you married your brother's wife. Now, under normal circumstances, as we know, because we spent a lot of time on this in Masechtas Yevamos, you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. If a regular brother dies, you know that sister-in-law is totally awesome. Over here, the Torah itself made an exception to the rule and said, Yibum, you're allowed to marry. Fine. So I understand in the context of Yibum, it's mutter, not only mutter, the Torah wants you to do it. But, Vahashta, take him alay be'isra shesach. But now that he did the Yibum, now that he divorces her, she should be viewed, at the end of the day, the reality is she was married to the brother. So she should be looked at and viewed as an Isra Shesach. Why is it mutter? Kamash Malon, so that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that in fact that it's mutter, that once he marries her, it's his wife. It's not his brother's wife anymore. It's his wife, and he is, even if he divorces her, he can remarry her. Fine. That is what the Mishnah teaches us. But the Gemara has a very simple question. It's very nice that the Mishnah says that, but you know what? We just had a very interesting point that Lamaisa, she was once married to the brother, and she should normally be Aser Eshazach. Why, in fact, is it Mutter to remarry her? Why is that even true? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'lach Haloi Li'isha, because he takes her as a wife. So the point is, we're medayek kivet shalacha nasa keishtoi. No, that the point is, once you do yibum and you take her as a wife, you're a regular wife. The pasuk, and in fact, the pasuk has to tell us this, because without the pasuk telling us that he's treated as a regular wife, and again, as the way I like to put it is, it's a full fledged wife, as a regular wife. No, we don't look back. We don't look back at the fact that she once upon a time theoretically could have been asur. At the end of the day, the Torah says it's mutter. Torah says it's your wife. Your wife. You do whatever the halacha is by your wife. That's the halacha. That's the halacha over here, including remarrying her, even after the Yibum whole story falls apart. Now we quote in the Mishnah, Vayter, Bavad Shetek Suba Al Nechsei Bala Rishon. So the chiddush is that once they do Yibum, in the money aspect of it is that it is a continuation of the original brother's marriage, and therefore the original promise of the ksuba also is based on the first brother. Meaning when the guy does Yibum, he doesn't have to do a new ksuba. The ksuba is the ksuba from the old brother, from the deceased brother, and that's where the assets come from. So the Gemara asks, my taimo? So the Gemara answers, right, why? Why is the first brother's estate the one that has to pay the ksuba? Or better yet, why can he rely on the first brother's estate and he doesn't have to come out of his own pocket? So the Gemara answers, Isha hiknu loy minat shamayim. It's true that the Torah gave you, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to marry the woman. V'iles la merishon. Okay, isla mesheni. Sorry, well, let's first just focus on that answer. The answer is because the Torah gave you the wife. The Torah didn't give you, it said, this is what you have to do, but I don't have a chiyah, as Rashi points out. Rashi points out that that's what the Torah said. The Torah says you have to marry her. The Torah didn't create other obligations on you. The other obligations, i.e. the ksuba and things like that, it's not starting over again. So Mamela, that continues and reverts back to the original brother who started this marriage. However, the Gemara continues and says, but, let's be real. Let's say the first brother died and he didn't really have any assets and he can't cover the value of the ksuba. Isla Misheni, the second brother will in fact have to pay up the full amount of the ksuba. Because we don't want a relationship. We never want a marriage. We never want a healthy marriage where the husband knows that there's no ramifications for him to divorce her. It has to be, fine, either he pays from his brother's estate if it could cover. If it can't cover, then he has to pay it because we don't want her to be like a free marriage. Okay, so that's the halacha. Now, the last part is, that one of the things that a yavam cannot say, and we say it's also true by a regular wife, but a yavam can't say, okay, so what's your ksuba, $100? Here's $100, I'm putting $100 on the side, it's on the table, you'll take it whenever you want, and don't worry about anything else. You can't do that. My v'chein, why does it say, and also you can't do this? It says, right? You can't, the Yavam can't do this also. Ma de tema, or rather by a husband, a regular husband can't do this. So ma de tema, hasam hu deloy kosav la de kanaiva de kanina. You might think why is it also true by a regular husband? Because you might think that the reason why you can't do this, that we have to say this by a Yavam, is because I never wrote, the Yavam himself never said, whatever assets I own will be meshuba to your ksuba. He never made that promise to her. So therefore, you say, it's therefore that money belongs to the first brother and it's all of his money. By a regular marriage where you do say what I have and what I will have in the future, so maybe over there the wife will say, even if he puts away $100 on the side, the bottom line is the ksuba says that all his property is meshubit, so I don't have to worry about the fact that there's $100 on the side in an escrow account, because I'm not worried he's going to throw me out, because I really have a right to shibud on everything. Kamash Malon, we say no. Kamash Malon, that is a problem, because the moment I set aside money and she knows that it doesn't cost him anything, so to speak, because he already put that money aside. It's not an out-of-pocket expense if he gets divorced. She loses confidence in that marriage, and the Torah doesn't want you, or the Rabbanon don't want you, to be involved in that kind of marriage where she knows that, you know, one, she has to walk on eggshells. That one step, one wrong step, okay, here you go, here's your money, go take it and leave. So we don't allow the husband to set aside money. It always has to be an open-ended that all of his property is meshubed to the ksuba. Even though he already said that in the ksuba, but we want to make sure in practice, also that she has a shibud on all the money and he doesn't set aside money for it. Okay, now back to the Yibum situation. Girsha ein la ela ksuba. So we said that if the Yavam divorces this Yavama, the only thing he has to do is give her the ksuba. So the Gemara says, Girsha in la girsha loi. So if he divorces her, he's entitled, but if he doesn't divorce her, she's not entitled to the ksuba. So the Gemara answers, Kamash Malon. So what's the chiddush with that? Of course, if he didn't divorce her, he doesn't have to pay. How Kamash Malon? So the Gemara is saying that it's teaching us, right, we're teaching us Rabbi Abba's halacha. Rabbi Abba halacha from Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that he has to realize until he divorces her, the property continues to be meshubet, the entire property continues to be meshubet to her, and if he wants to ever do anything with the property, in other words, we say that even though we say that he only has to pay it when he divorced her, but the reason why we have to say is he has to pay when he divorces her means until he divorces her, the entire ksuba is meshubet. And you need Reb Abba's advice, which is either divorce her to free up the other assets, or appease her in some way that she agrees that you can free up the other assets. But otherwise, until you divorce her, the entire estate is meshubet to the ksuba. Okay? The next point is, once again, if he does divorce her, he pays her the ksuba, then he remarries her. They can remarry her on the ksuba. He can even remarry her based on the original ksuba, but now it's not all of that property anymore, because now it's just a regular marriage, and he's only meshubed the $100, it's not meshubed we don't look at the deceased property that the entire estate is meshubed to the ksuba anymore. So the Gemara says, "Achsira, my kamash malon." Of course, he remarries her. We start over again. Tanina, and we learned, "Hamagarisa isho machsira." If a guy divorces a wife and he remarries her, "Amanas ksubasa ksuba rishayna." So, machsira, if he wants, he could remarry her based on the first ksuba. In other words, what he's able to say is as follows: when he divorced her, technically he owed her the 200 zuz, right? So if he remarries her right away, even before he actually paid the ksuba, he's able to say, I'm remarrying you based on the shibud of that original ksuba, and then I'm going to owe you the 200. Now that we're remarried, I'm going to owe you that 200 tzuz based on the same ksuba, the same amount, as we had the first time. So again, why should the yibum situation be any different? It's the same concept, it's the same idea that he's remarrying her, it's still based on that original ksuba. So the Gemara says there is a difference. By a regular marriage where I was the one who wrote the ksuba to my wife, so I understand that I could remarry her based on my ksuba. Because it was a deal between us, and if he remarries her, it's the same us. It's the same deal. But in the case of Yibum, he never wrote a ksuba in the first place. So how could he agree to a deal? I'm relying on the original ksuba. He didn't write the original ksuba. You might think that now it's his obligation for the first time. Now he wants to remarry her. I'm not stopping you from the remarriage, but you never wrote a ksuba, so now it's time for you to write a ksuba. So now you have kamash malon. No, the chiddush is that he could, even in this case, he could rely on the original ksuba, and he'll rely on the original estate from the ksuba. He's able to do that if he wants, if the yavam and the, obviously she has to agree, but meaning she has to agree in the sense that if she agrees to get married on this condition, that's she agreed to get married. But the point is that he can rely on even a ksuba that he never wrote. That's why we need the Mishnah over here to teach us this. Yeah. Now to continue. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rishayna hayu kosin l'b'sula masayim l'aman amano. So originally they wrote that a b'sula gets 200 zuz and an amana gets 100 zuz. V'hayu maskinin, and the women were getting old. V'loy hayu noisin noshim, and they wouldn't get married. They didn't want to marry the woman. It was too expensive. They didn't want it. It wasn't worth it. At Shabbos Shemim ben Shetach, until Shemim ben Shetach says v'tikin kol nechaz v'achrayin l'ksuba. What they said was not that you have to give. You have to set aside $100 or $200. It's too much money to lay out. He said, "Don't worry. Whatever your property is, that's where she'll collect her ksuba. So don't worry about it. Whatever, eventually, if it ever comes to it, then you'll deal with your property later." Okay.
One second,
you are right. That it's the women didn't want to get married because they didn't want to be limited to that $100 or the $200. So came along with Shimon ben Shaddach. You're right. That's the way to look at it. And Shimon ben Shaddach said that it's no. We're going to tell her. Don't worry. It's not. You're not getting $100. You're getting everything is tied up for this property. Everything he owns is connected to your marriage. She said, "Oh, okay, fine. So that's a good deal. So then if I know that he's so to speak all in, if he's all in, then it was worth it for them. It wasn't an expense issue. It was a psychological issue. The fact that it's not just $100. It's everything he owns is meshuvah to the ksuba." Tanya Nami Yochi, we learned in Abraisa also. Bereshoina Hoya Kaisvin, Libsula Masayim Lomana. Mana that they, Bsula got 200, Lomana got 100. Bahayim is Mazkinin, and they were letting themselves get old. Veloy Hoya Noisin Noshim, and they weren't marrying. Yaskinu Shem and Ichanoisam Bebeis Avio. They said, okay, fine, so we'll put the money in the Beis Avio. So that you know that you'll get the money. But the problem was, you're right, don't worry, you'll get your money. They used to put the money aside so that the woman knew that she was guaranteed the money. But the problem was, when he would get angry at her, so the husband would just very easily say, no problem. Okay, you're not happy over here? No, go get out of here. Go to your father. So that also wasn't working because that didn't allow for the marriage to last. So they were masakashim. So they would say, no problem, you should leave it by your father-in-law, which is not as easy to collect. So Ashira is hayu oisoy soy soy, kalsois shel kesef v'shel zahav. And the rich women used to make it into these fancy bracelets or whatever, these woven things. Anias, the what?
Baskets,
right? Baskets out of right, yeah, baskets of silver and gold. Anias hayoisus as a obit shell meme raglayan. They would make it as a. I think there's a word for it. The stool, the trough. That the trough that they used to use for going to the bathroom. Okay, but so the point is that they used to make it into an object, a what? A urinal. Okay, fine. But the problem was that they, again, even whether they kept it by her father or they kept it by his father, which is a little bit more difficult, but the bottom line was there was already an object that was there and available to pay her ksuba. So, again, the husbands felt like it was no skin off their back. Okay, I already paid for it, so just take it. So that's why Shimon ben Shaddach came. Until he said, no, everything is meshubed. So if everything is meshubed, they can't talk about, you know, what you. It wasn't easy for him because now he had to go and he had to go through his assets and she could pull anything. She could pull his building in Manhattan and say, that's what I want to keep. So that's why. So it wasn't so easy, so to speak. It was a little bit of a reason why the husband wouldn't want to divorce right away. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Hajan Alocha Isha. So we finished Hajan Alocha Isha. We finished the eighth parak of Ksubos. Next time we'll start with the beginning of the ninth parak.